Last time on the Pivotal Decisions podcast, we talked about the second coming of Christ. We are in a series on the podcast talking about end time events. Now, we're not talking about every single detail of the end times, but we're taking just a glimpse, if you will, at some of the major events and just discussing them. So last time on the podcast, go back and take a listen to that episode. We talked about the second coming of Christ. Now, today, we're going to talk about an end time event known as the Wedding Supper of the Lamb or the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. I've heard about the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, the Wedding Supper, my entire life. I know we have songs that we sing about the Wedding Supper, the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. But what is it? What does it mean? When does it happen? Where will it happen? All of those are questions we're going to try to address on this episode of Pivotal Decisions as we talk about the Wedding Supper of the Lamb. Well, welcome to the Pivotal Decisions podcast. I'm so glad you are tuning in to this episode. We know here on Pivotal Decisions that the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow. And so thank you for joining in. If you enjoy the podcast, if you like it, if you just reasonably like it, if you will share it with your friends, that would be a great blessing. And let people know a key way to support the podcast and to be a blessing is if you'll subscribe to the YouTube channel. And all you have to do is go to YouTube, type in Pivotal Decisions Podcast. It's going to pop right up. And when it does, hit the subscribe button and you are ready to go. My name is Stan and I'm the host of the Pivotal Decisions Podcast. And I'm grateful that you're tuning in. The Bible teaches us that just as Jesus came to the earth 2,000 years ago, he is going to come again. And when Jesus comes, the Bible says that we will all of us, including believers, the believers, will appear at the judgment seat of Christ. And here, Christ is going to evaluate all the works that has been done in the body of Christ, his church. And then to follow that will be what is known as the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. And at the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, this is where Jesus will present himself to the church, his bride. Now, on this episode of Pivotal Decisions, we will go back to the scripture again, like the last podcast, and look at Revelation 19. And when you come to Revelation 19, now remember the context, the setting. The true church has been raptured, meaning we that are believers who are on the earth will be caught up with Jesus in the air, raptured off the earth. Those who have died, who are saved, they'll be called out of the grave, their physical body. They too will meet Jesus in the air. This is known as the rapture. You can read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This happens after the 7 years of the tribulation when God will pour out his wrath on the earth. So you have the rapture, and then you have the 7 years of the tribulation, and then you have the second coming of Christ. Now, during that tribulation period, God's going to pour his wrath out on the earth. It's described as hell on the earth. The Antichrist will be on the earth at that time. He'll rise to power, assume power over the earth. He'll promise peace at first. He'll turn on the world, set himself up as God to be worshipped. And the conclusion of the tribulation, that seven-year period of time, there will be what is known as the Battle of Armageddon. I did a whole podcast on the Battle of Armageddon. At the Battle of Armageddon, all the nations of the earth will gather at this place. The Battle of Armageddon is the battle at Armageddon. It's actually a place. And in that moment, with all the nations of the earth gathered along with the Antichrist, the heavens will open and Jesus Christ will appear. This is the second coming. And at that moment, the church comes to its really most climactic time in history. You have the judgment seat of Christ, And then you have the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, by the way, if you're trying to figure out when all of this is going to happen, it's only known by God the Father. He's the only one who knows the timing. You know, in Jewish culture, the bridegroom's father set the wedding date. And God has set the wedding date. He has set the date for the second coming of Christ. If you are reading books, watching movies by date setters, remember the warning that Jesus gives. Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming," in Matthew 25:13. No one knows. Run from those people. No one knows the date of this. Anyone who tries to set a date, they don't know what they're talking about. They're probably crazy. Now listen, no one knows the date, but there are no prophecies that have to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. That could happen at any moment. At any moment, the rapture will take place, and then you'll have the beginning of the 7 years of the tribulation on the earth. Now, God chose marriage. His institution that he created from the very beginning, he chose marriage to illustrate this glorious moment when the believing church, we become one with the Lord, never to be separated again. That's a picture of the marriage supper of the Lamb. It's going to be exciting, joyful. It's going to be a beautiful event. And we find this written about, the context of the marriage supper of the Lamb, in Revelation 19. Now listen to what it says in Revelation 19, verse 1, because here we find a word that is used in this text of Scripture here in Revelation 19. We find a word that is used four times here, and it's the only time in the New Testament we find this word. Revelation 19, verse 1 says, "After this, I heard what seemed to be the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, 'Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God.'" In these first few verses here, Revelation 19, we find a word that is used four times. Hallelujah, it means praise be to the Lord. It's used only four times in the entire New Testament of the Bible, and all four of them are found right here in Revelation 19. In fact, this section of the Scripture is known as the Hallelujah Chorus. And so we have a multitude of people singing Hallelujah. Well, who is the multitude singing Hallelujah? It's the martyred saints. Those who have gotten saved during the tribulation and were killed for their faith during the tribulation. Why are they shouting Hallelujah? Well, verse 2 tells us why they're shouting Hallelujah. Revelation 19, verse 2 says, "For his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants." God here is confronting the false church. God has defeated evil. It's over. And Jesus is getting ready to leave heaven and come back to the earth. The martyred saints are singing Hallelujah, praise be to the Lord. Verse 3, once more they cried out, "Hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever." This is a picture that all unbelievers will be judged forever. The smoke is a picture that God has condemned unbelievers for all eternity. That's the picture here in Revelation 19. And the martyred saints are singing Hallelujah, praise be to the Lord. So it goes on now, verse 4 of Revelation 19. "And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, 'Amen, Hallelujah.'" The 24 elders here are mentioned in verse 4. The 24 elders represent the church. That's you, that's me, those who are saved. If you know Christ, that's you, the church. You see, God has a special plan for the church. We, as the church, are kept separate from Israel and the tribulation saints, those who were saved during the tribulation. The third time here, they say hallelujah, and they actually add a word to it. Amen, hallelujah. We just flippantly use amen. Sometimes it's genuine. Not all the time is it flippant, but it's a word that we use a lot. Here it is in the scripture, very powerful. It's connected to hallelujah. Amen, hallelujah. Amen is a word that means so be it. So be it, Lord. And here, the 24 elders, they're worshiping God as well. And they cry out, they're singing their praise to God here. Amen, so be it, Lord. Hallelujah, praise be to the Lord. So the praise here in Revelation 19, it's important to notice this. The praise is building. The joy is building. And we get to verse 5, and from the throne came a voice saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. Verse 6 says, then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. You see, for the last 7 years, remember, this is at the end of the tribulation. The second coming of Christ has taken place. Now the marriage supper of the Lamb. In this moment, for 7 years, it seemed like that the Antichrist had won. That the Antichrist was in control. But now that Christ is getting ready to return, it is clear to everyone in heaven that God is the one who reigns. That God is actually the one that's in control, not Satan, not the Antichrist. And so they sing their praises, the multitude, amen, hallelujah, praise be to God. The heavenly chorus reaches a crescendo here, and they cry out, hallelujah, God Almighty reigns. Then after the hallelujahs of Revelation 19, there's an announcement. In verse 7, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Throughout the Bible, God uses a picture of a bride and groom to describe the relationship that he has, that Jesus has with the church. Jesus is the groom, and the church, that's all the people who are genuinely saved since Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, that's the bride. Here is the ceremony to marry Jesus and his church. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but that's the image here. That's the picture. All of heaven, it says, the multitude, is they're crying out their hallelujahs to God. Jesus is getting ready to come, and there's going to be this ceremony of the marriage of Jesus and the church. And John says that the wedding of the Lamb has come. Here, Jesus is the groom, and the bride is the church, the true church. All of us who are truly saved, that's the church. The greatest social event in ancient times was a wedding. In ancient Eastern weddings, there were actually three stages. Okay, so you fathers and you men out there, you think you have it hard with your wedding or paying for your daughter's wedding. In ancient biblical times, there were actually three stages to the wedding. There was first the marriage contract. And the contract was initiated by the parents. They arranged the marriage. And the groom's parents would actually pay the bride's parents. This was known as the betrothal. The betrothal was done between two sets of parents. It was a contract they drew up between themselves, pledging their children to one another in marriage. Often, this pledge would be made before the children were even born. Because in this day, what was more important than the individual, it wasn't about the individuals getting married, it was about the families. The family was more important than the individual in the family. So the families would have these contracts of marriage. It was known as the betrothal time. I'm all for it. I mean, the parents are in control. They pick which family that they want their child to marry into. I think that's a great idea. There's some crazy families out there. So you first, in ancient times, you had this The first stage was the marriage contract. The second stage, there would be a ceremony at the groom's house. This ceremony was unannounced. It was unexpected. The groom would show up and take the bride to his parents' house for the ceremony. And the second part of the wedding was the presentation. That was the time when the betrothed bride was brought out into the public and presented. There was nothing impure here. The marriage, the relationship had not been consummated yet. This was the second stage, a ceremony in the groom's house. And then third, there would be the wedding supper. Once the wedding took place, all the family would gather to celebrate. Now listen, men, sometimes this celebration, the wedding supper, could last up to 2 weeks. I mean, you think the receptions are long today, and they are. But in these days, the wedding supper would last sometimes up to 2 weeks. The point is that Jesus fulfilled all of this imagery for us. He arranged our marriage with God. God had a plan to save you from the very beginning. Before the foundation of the earth, he had planned for Jesus to redeem the world on the cross, by dying on the cross. Now, we're waiting the ceremony. We're waiting for the rapture when Jesus comes unexpectedly for us. It could happen at any moment. And finally, the great supper will take place. When Jesus comes the second time, there will be a wedding supper. The supper, you see, will take place not in heaven. This supper will take place on the earth. When Jesus comes, there will be the marriage supper. And it'll be this great celebration with Jesus on the earth. Revelation 19, 7 and 8, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. In the ancient world, you wore two garments. There was the inner garment called the tunic and an outer garment called the toga. And so he's saying here in this text that as Christians, we are dressed, spiritually speaking, in two robes. When we get saved, we are clothed in righteousness. In other words, God saves us. We're declared not guilty because of what Jesus has done for us. And we are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. That's the inner garment. That's called the tunic. That's the inner garment, meaning our inner heart, our inner soul has been redeemed, saved, changed by Christ. That's how you become a Christian. He changes you on the inside. He saves you by dying on the cross. But there's an outer garment, the toga. It's a picture of our righteous acts. It's our acts of obedience. It's how we show our devotion to God. It's the good works that we do on this earth in Jesus' name. Now, these works do not save us. We are saved by Christ, by his shed blood on the cross, the redemption we have in Jesus, in his resurrection. We are saved by Jesus. But our righteous acts are on display. We devote ourselves to God. We live for God. And what we do for Jesus, these righteous acts, are the outer garment. In other words, the wedding supper of the Lamb is a reminder that how you live your life matters. You will be given the garments of righteous acts to put on, and then you will be judged by how you lived your life. And the level of obedience, now hear this, your acts, your works do not save you. You're saved by Jesus. But once you're saved, then you commit yourself to living for Christ. And your obedience, the level of your obedience to Christ, will determine the kind of heaven you experience. Now, I know. I get feedback, letters, emails every time I mention this. But I think the Bible teaches that heaven will not be the same for everybody. You get to heaven by knowing Jesus, but your experience in heaven will not be the same. It will be based on your righteous acts. It will be based on your level of obedience, your experience in heaven. I can't explain all of that, but I think it's true. Just like I think that hell will not be the same for everyone either. There are different degrees of hell based on how you live your life. Now, you don't go to heaven or hell based on your works. You go to heaven or hell based on whether you know Jesus or not. But your experience in heaven or hell is determined by your works. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 10. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him, to please God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, the church, whether good or evil. One day we'll be judged based on our level of obedience, and it will determine what we receive based on how we lived our life. Your life will be evaluated. And on that day when all the Christians return with Christ at the second coming, our outer dress will reveal what kind of life we lived. I've done a lot of weddings over the years. I mean, a lot of weddings. And weddings have changed a lot over the years. And used to, every wedding I performed was in a church. Now, basically, every wedding I perform is outside. But what has not changed is I know that it takes the bride a lot of time to get ready for the wedding. The bride prepares for weeks and months to get ready for the wedding. The groom usually just shows up and does what he's told. Think about all the magazines over the years that were written for brides. Brides, Modern Brides, Today's Bride, Elegant Bride. There used to be a TV show. I'm not sure. I don't think it's on the air anymore. I looked it up. It was on the air for 13 years. It was called Bridezillas. They had a motto. It's my day. It's my way. If you don't like it, there's the door. That's pretty well sums it up. It's all about the bride. In my research, what I didn't find was anything for the grooms. You're on your own. How you live your life matters. Brides take time to get themselves ready for the wedding. And the Bible says that is what we're supposed to be doing as the church. We are spending our time on this earth, the time that God has given us, to prepare for the great day when the wedding comes between Jesus and His church, His bride. Revelation 19, verse 9, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed to those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Every true believer will be invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Remember, it happens as soon as Christ returns to the earth at the second coming. It actually begins His 1,000-year reign upon the earth, and all true believers will be invited. Blessed are those who are invited, John writes. Believers from all ages will be there. Think about who's going to be there. Moses and Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Esther, Ruth, Paul, Timothy, John the Baptist, Peter, all true believers throughout all ages will be there. But there'll be two special guests. I mean, you go to a wedding, you're invited to a wedding. The reason you're going to the wedding is because of the bride and groom. The bride and groom will be honored. All believers of all ages will be invited to attend the marriage supper of the Lamb. But the marriage supper of the Lamb will honor the groom, Jesus Christ, and the bride, His church. All of those who are saved from Pentecost until the rapture. Those will be the honored guests. Wonder what kind of food we're going to have at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I mean, the best that heaven can cook? Jesus, after His resurrection, He ate food. So we are going to eat food after the resurrection. And I love, one of my favorite verses is Isaiah 25 that tells us, the meal will be a feast of rich food and fat things. I'm all in for this. No more broccoli and counting calories and lima beans and food like that. There's going to be rich food and fat things. I'm in for this. The only thing that's going to be better than the food there is going to be the fellowship. I don't know how we're going to be seated, maybe with Noah and Paul and John the Baptist. Every wedding just about has a seating chart. Maybe you'll be seated with your family. Could you imagine sitting around that table with parents that's passed away, grandparents that's with the Lord, with family for generations that were saved? You'll be sitting around that table at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I can't imagine what that's going to be like. But I can't imagine wanting to be there. Next time on Pivotal Decisions, I will discuss the thousand-year reign of Christ known as the millennium. Thank you for joining me today on this episode of Pivotal Decisions. Again, if you find this helpful at all, entertaining at all, please share it with your friends. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And you remember, the decisions you make today will determine your tomorrow.